Welcome to Builds with Blocks, the show centered around the micro action figures and brick-based construction sets of the Halo universe. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, and I'm joined by Tom Fishenden.
Yo!
And once again, a very special guest, Chris, a.k.a. Brickman117. Welcome, Chris.
Hello!
With the end of the year upon us, we like to take a look back and highlight everything that's been released from Mega Constructs and everything that we created along the way. Brickman is very gracious enough to join us as we dig deep into his journey creating the ultimate banished AA gun. It's finally done. It's out there, so just go check out that video if you haven't seen it already. We also want to take a look back and recap the year that was 2021. Those will be a fun conversation. We'll go real quickly around the table just to see what we've been up to. There's a few things we've been up to. Halo Infinite released. So, Tom, no spoilers. Chris hasn't played yet. Tom, what have you been doing?
So, I call it the Flood Plague, and I've been trying very hard not to turn into a combat form. So if anyone watching sees me mute and then cough, apologies, it's just the condition of me being here today. In terms of what I've been building, I put together a little battle mock using some of the tropical base plate pack, because I bought that purely to have some terrain and was like, do you know what, if I'm getting these, I might as well put something together with it and put a little video out and then put them away in my collection afterwards. And apart from that, I've just been working on surviving the Flood Plague. Yeah.
Well, you don't look terrible, so the worst must be behind you. So
it's all Photoshop.
Very nice. Chris, I'll toss it over to you. What have you been doing to wrap up the year?
I've just been trying to sort out my studio, actually, very slowly and painfully trying to remodel it since I moved everything back in from my house where I moved everything to build that.
I've slowly was it the beginning of the year that you moved everything into the house and now you're moving everything back?
Yeah, it was about a year ago I moved everything there and that was painful enough.
Right.
Quite a few trips in the car. And now I'm slowly putting it back in because I've got a bit more space to utilize in the studio, but I'm making it more of a display museum slash studio now.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that's what I've been doing.
Awesome. I will go quickly. Well, I've been up to a lot. So lots of Infinite, lots of Halo Infinite. It's out. Multiplayer. I've been trying to get my weeklies done. I'm on my second playthrough. Actually, I'm trying to go through and collect all of the audio logs and all that sort of stuff for my first save on normal. And then I started my heroic save, but I just need to kind of stalled out on that as I've been doing my collecting. What else? Oh, a little fun Halo 3 Halo Universe. Blind bag.
Halo 2, Colin, get it right, goddammit.
This is a Halo 2 Marine, but he's in my hands. So I have all six, but I did want to share with you guys, the Marine looks fantastic. And oh, there's the original. That's right. Does he have the little goatee as well? We have our Brute. He's got a nice hairy chest underneath that belt there. He looks great. And this piece is loose, this little kind of shoulder piece, or the kind of the collar is loose, but his head sticks on there and it puts it on nice and tight. The plasma gun here is pretty bright red. And I'll show you one more, because I know Tom was interested in this one, the Zvezda, the gummy with the commando. And his
commando looks so good.
Eyes are colored too. So that's a little paint application on his eyes. So there you go. Now I'll open the rest here and maybe I'll crack a pump out a review. Maybe Tom will help me with that. We'll see. But so far I've been the only one to find them on the squad. So yeah, so very happy with those. There's six of them in total. And a couple other things real quick and then we'll dive in. I swear. I've been doing lots of Halo Infinite stuff. So I think I got a banished beanie cap. So I like this banished symbol, but it's like a winter cap because it's cold here in Minnesota now. So I have, I'm officially converted into the Banished. Take me, Atriox. And I did, I'll just show you one more thing. the art book. I think I posted on Twitter about this, but this art book is beautiful. I need to spend some time and look through it a bit, but it's good so far, so very happy with that. All right, that's enough. There's more, but you know, I won't take up all the time with updates about me. Welcome to Builds with Colin, where he just shows up all his stuff.
I've just realized how hard it is for you trying to do this without being able to see me. Waiting to see if I finish talking or not.
Yeah, right. Just for the viewers, I can't see Chris's camera, but you can. So
yeah, I can see you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we dive into, let's talk about you a little bit now. So as many of you guys have seen, the progress of the ultimate Banished AA gun over the course of the year, right? Chris has been building this and giving updates along the way. We wanted to, and it's now that it's finished, we wanted to take some time to ask him questions, talk about the build itself. There's all this little detail. And again, he had this nice overview where he talks about kind of all the little elements and walks you through everything. But there's lots of questions like how we came up with the idea and all that other sort of stuff. Again, Chris hasn't played Halo Infinite. So the one thing I'll say, but you have seen the trailers and you did watch the opening cutscene, I believe, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Very good.
So you know some stuff. But the one thing I will say, and this isn't a spoiler because you know it's in the game, the representation that you made is bang on. Like it's so perfect because it's a huge part of like a chunk of the game. And the fact that you chose that after seeing, you know, the small little guy that we all got to play with and chose to blow it out, I think was dead on. So you took an awesome chance on building it, and I think it really paid off.
It was definitely luck.
Right. Yeah. But educated guess, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out okay. Yeah.
Why don't you take us through the beginning, kind of like, so why you decided to dig in on that? I think you've covered some of this in your videos, but, you know, want to start there.
In all honesty, it wasn't my first choice to build that gun. That was quite far down my choice of what I would like to build. When it came to something banished, I would prefer to do some sort of vehicle. But
you did the Phantom the year before.
I did do the Phantom. I would have. I really wanted to do a blister back or a scarab or something like that. So anything, or maybe even a wraith. But all of the parts I had were very square. So, you know, most of the parts that Mega sent me in bulk were all square, and it left me wondering, that doesn't lend itself well to organic shapes, you know, like the wraith and everything like that. So, when they released the Defense Point Showdown set, I just thought, that's kind of squarish. It's got square edges.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's how it came about. But then, in all honesty, now that it's finished, it turned out to be a good decision because it came together a lot better than I expected it to, and a lot bigger as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess when you started it, did you have any clue what the scale would end up being?
Not really. I just started with the control room. I knew that I wanted the control room to be so big, and it was going to be as big as it had to be for that control room to work out the way I wanted it to work out. But I did underestimate how big it was going to be. Definitely.
Well, I mean, and you took inspiration from the trailers that we saw, and where Chief goes up and, you know, into that control room and has the interaction with Escherim and whatnot. So, that makes sense. That was kind of the driving force. And you know, we'll talk about it throughout, and we've talked about it all year, you know, you nailed it. Which is awesome. And you took a little freedom too. Well, should you talk about the control room itself? And we'll have some videos here that we can kind of put in. But the control room, it has the kind of the secret compartment back that you created.
Yeah, so the control room's got the armory at the front of it, which I still don't know if that exists in the game, but if it does or it doesn't. It was just a waste of space if I didn't do something with it. Mm-hmm. And as for the rest of the interior of the control room, I just went free reign. You could see a fair amount. And was it the 2020 E3 demo, which we saw that gun in? Mm-hmm. So you could see a certain amount of the interior, but a lot of it back then was when the graphics hadn't been polished and there wasn't a huge amount going on in there. So I wanted to make it more interesting. which is, it is a mock at the end of the day. So, you know, it's, you might as well make it interesting if you're going to put that much time and effort into it.
What was, like, again, I remember watching your update videos. So was there at any point when you were working on that, that you were just like, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. I'm done.
A lot. It drained me, that build. It's just the sheer scale of it. Just, it was the hours that went in to it. And I thought it was going to be easier because of the shape. But the shape ended up being a lot more complex than I thought it was going to be. Just the control room alone is a very unusual shape to create out of bricks. They do it quite simply on the small Defense Point Showdown set. You can't use the same techniques to do it on that size with, you know, that much space inside whilst trying to make it strong as well. So I almost stumbled at the first hurdle. It took ages to create that control room with any kind of confidence that I was going to be able to have the legs feed into it while still be able to be dismantled so you can move it while strong enough that it doesn't all collapse, while still not really knowing how big it was going to be or how high it was going to stand off the ground or if I'd have enough parts to finish it. So, yeah, it was... Every stage was challenging, a lot more challenging than I thought. I'd finish one stage and think, oh, this bit will be better. And it just opened up a whole new load of problems.
Right.
I want to just add an interesting observation quickly, because when you think about that process and the way you've described that there, Chris, that is probably exactly the process that Mega went through when they built the Scarab, working out how to attach the legs and then have it so you could take them off and move the body independently as well. It sounds like you've gone through a very similar iteration to probably what they would have gone through building that. So it's just cool seeing that parallel between obviously your build and then what they've done for that official one as well.
Yeah, definitely a lot of hope.
Yeah.
Do you, and I forget if you had mentioned this when we first chatted, but do you do sketches before anything else, or are you just kind of, are you just manipulating the bricks? Is that kind of how, like a trial and error type situation when you're just working on the shape?
I just build. I don't do any sketches, any sort of planning as such. All I do is have my iPad alongside me with a load of screenshots of that trailer to try and reference size. And then obviously once you've got the control room, that dictates the size of everything else. And yeah, that was it. And if you come to a point where, which is a whole mock, you look at it, you know what you want to do, and then you look at what bricks you've got available. So you then come up with plan B, and then you start building, realize you don't have enough, so you go to plan C, and then you just keep evolving it from there. And then you end up with the best you can get with what's possible structural-wise, strength-wise, and parts availability.
Right. That makes sense. So have you, again, forgive me, we may have asked this before, but did you ever play with Forge in Halo 3 and the other Halos? Because I feel like when Forge comes out in Infinite, that'll, I mean, you'll be able to manipulate the camera, you'll be able to see all the angles of everything. That would be a super good resource for you.
Yeah, I never used it. I never used Forge, but you're right. It would be a better way to do it. When I was doing the Banished Phantom, I can't remember the chap's name, but in fact, two or three people, I don't know how they did it, but on PC, they were able to take really good screenshots of Halo Wars 2, the Banished Phantom in Halo Wars 2, get really close up, pretty much any angle that I couldn't find those images on the internet, and they were good enough to send me those, which really helped when I was putting the Banished Phantom together, because that wouldn't have been as accurate as it is without the help of those people. So yeah, it definitely would help in the future. I think if I ever do another mock, I'm just going to go first installment of the video, please send me some pictures.
Yeah.
And it will we've got you, easier. It's fine. We've got you.
Yeah, just pop on our YouTube. You'll get it all. Has it been tough to avoid spoilers for you? Or, I mean, you're not a big social media guy, right?
No. I'm not a big social media guy, and so far thumbnails have been quite kind. There's not been any really, not seen any really shocking thumbnails that have made me go, oh no, I wish I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
So far I've got, I pretty much still know nothing. So gotcha. Looking forward to it.
I have something that I want to say, but I think I'll let you enjoy it when you get to it. We'll have that conversation.
Colin, the laser is on your chest right now. Just
Okay, so I wanted to talk about parts then. So you talked about all the parts that you needed, and one of the reasons that you picked this was because you thought it would be easier than it turned out to be. So how did you go about acquiring all these parts?
So Mega did supply me with a huge amount of lights, well, it's silver, light gray, mm-hmm. or dark gray, and then the banished red, in mainly block form or slope or small plates, only up to 2x4 was the mm-hmm. biggest. Loads of those, but I ran out of those very quickly, so then they resupplied me. And then also I was using a lot of the Defense Point Showdown set. So I purchased four, five or six of those and then went through those really quickly. So Mega offered to step in again and send me some more Defense Point Showdown sets, because the Defense Point Showdown is probably one of my least favorite sets from the Infinite line. Simply from a scale perspective, they've just got other, I think from a usability, everything else they've done, I really like, but the Defense Point Showdown set, if nothing else, is absolutely incredible for parts. Mm-hmm. It's got to be one of the best parts breakdown sets I've ever seen. There's mm-hmm. just so many useful pieces in there. So if anyone's looking to mock build and they see those on special, that would be the set I'd recommend buying, because it's just fantastic.
What did you, do you recall what part you used the most? Was it like a 2x1 brick, or like what was the most used part in the mock?
The most used parts were probably brick form was a 1x4 brick, went through ridiculous amounts of those. When I was getting towards the end of the mock, I was having to use 1x1 bricks in place of every other brick, because that was all I was left with. Ouch. So where I would have, like on the power cells, where I would have preferred 1x4 bricks, or at the very least two or three, I was using so many 1x1s, but trying to ration them so you didn't have this irregular view of, you know, you're trying to make it look random, which is why another thing I did was, which... it ended up looking good in the end. Most people have commented and noticed that I've got the current Infinite Silver and the mm-hmm. old Mega Blocks Light Grey, which mm-hmm. gives a mottled effect over it. So it looks more aged and worn. But that was purely through necessity, because I ran out of... I knew I was going to run out of the silver bricks. So mm-hmm. I started using both the plates and the bricks, and I realized it actually... gave it a bit more depth rather than being all one pristine looking color. I went through my entire collection of short swords. I'd had quite a few sets.
You, Chris?
I know. I had a lot of sets of short swords, all bagged up, complete stickers and everything that I'd bought secondhand. You've seen my videos where I get the hauls, I've washed them, I've sorted them, I've rebuilt them all, and they're all bagged in their boxes. And I had to cannibalize every last one, and all of my broadswords as well. I think four broadswords, about five short swords. And what else went in there? Any other gray vehicle? Everything just got absolutely cannibalized. So that hurt, because I like to, I like even the used sets, I like to keep in their bags, because you never know when I'm going to want to use them for a future mock or diorama. Whereas now they're just shrapnel, they're just parts.
Well, short swords are great for mocks too, I feel like a dive bombing run overhead. Like, I'd love
definitely. Mm-hmm. It's the same as the Phantoms. All my Phantoms, I've got the original Phantoms, I think I've got about eight or nine. all from Halls, complete, that I've got them all. I've gone through them all, put them all in their bags. But I know the day will come if I decide to build a huge, either a cruiser or a big Halo 1 Spirit dropship.
Oh,
if I do an ultimate size one like the Pelican, those Phantoms will just be depleted.
They all gobble up. Right.
Yeah.
Minifigure scale Truth and Reconciliation needs to happen.
Everybody wants a minifig scale frigate.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That'd take your entire garage.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Boy. Okay, cool. I want to get into a couple more of these questions. We got some good stuff here, and then we'll talk about the mock itself, like the finished product. But what do you think, you know, we talked about the control room already. Was that the most difficult part, or was it the legs? Like, what else stood out as, you know, pulling your hair out?
The legs were the easiest part, but the most boring part, because there was three of them, so they were repetitive. But I really enjoyed detailing the actual stilts of the legs. The legs themselves were really tedious. They're just really big boxes that took a long time, and they're layered because they've got depth to them, so to make them more interesting, not just a square box, they sort of taper in and out. They were super boring, super time consuming. These bits here were interesting to make. So the arms that go onto the feet, Colin, you can't see, but you'll see when you watch the video. The control room was okay, but I didn't detail it until later on in the build. So the actual building, the structure of the control room, was again quite tedious and time consuming. The hardest part was definitely the actual cannon on top, because it was ginormous. I just really underestimated how big that was going to have to be. And it was the most challenging to make it look interesting. And I only had the screenshots from that E3 trailer, which were very minimal. You didn't really get to see all the way around it. So I took a lot of liberties with the style of it at the time, because you couldn't really see any detail on it. So along the top of the gun, it was all liberty. Underneath the gun, just whatever I fancied doing. So now that I've seen some clips of it in game, I myself am shocked at how similar it looks to the in-game gun off of those early images that we saw. So it's definitely the main cannon was the hardest part, definitely.
I will now ask you on that. Sorry, Colin, I'm trying to like time it so I jump in while you're waiting to see if Chris is finished. So looking at just it behind you as well, and I'm not rubbing it in, Colin, I promise. So you can see that the turret itself is really hefty and large. Were you worried at all when you were building that, having it above the control room? Because obviously that is a lot of weight to have coming down onto one joint. How did you like approach that structurally so it wasn't just coming through the roof?
Yeah, I was not even 50% hopeful that it would hold it all, because it wasn't until I'd finished it that you could really test it. When I first put all the legs on, I realized that I had a lot of strength there, and there's some sort of basic engineering principles going on in here as they slide in, which makes them lock in together. So you've got this TP effect going on, which makes the load go to the right place, which is why it's probably three times stronger than it needs to be now that it's all done. But obviously I didn't know that when I was building it. I hoped, but I didn't know. And as for the gun bearing down on the roof, I used, if you guys have built the short sword, you'll know the tail section has got some long Technic pieces in them with the holes in, and it's where the like the fins that come off the end clip into. So of all those short swords that I cannibalized, I saved a lot of those for strengthening up that roof, because that roof is, it's about four blocks high with an awful lot of pretty much every Technic piece I could find, and then lots of plate sandwiching. Which makes it really, really strong. And then it's actually just being supported by the back wall and the front wall. Because this wall here is kind of clipped on to the side. Yeah. There's no real strength on those walls, so it couldn't support on those. So yeah, it was definitely a relief. But I mean, it being sat behind me now, by the time we finish recording this, will be the longest amount of time it's sat on top. Usually I put it on top, film whatever I'm filming, and then I take it back off and put it on a unit over there.
I'm gonna be nervous this
because I don't want to leave it. So yeah, maybe you guys will see it collapse.
If we do, we'll cut it, we'll let you rebuild it, and then we can resume it. It's fine.
No, we just got to keep going with it. This
if it falls over, we just carry on.
I love it. Tom, I was going to ask you about, because obviously the gun is in the game. When you got to the gun itself, did you think about Brickman? Because I did. I was like, look at that thing. Oh, it looks just like
I think
it.
The thing that shocked me is how spot on you managed to get the scale. Because obviously you said you just built it around that control room. But actually, without spoiling anything, when you encounter it in the game, you do think, oh my god, that's huge. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you have that kind of real stage presence for it, especially when you compare it to the scale of the figures, is really cool, because that is spot on to how it is in game when you first encounter it.
Yeah.
Especially considering what we got. You know, again, we love the representation of what we got, but it's just, there's no way for them to have given us an AA gun with the appropriate size.
And also, when we first saw the images, before we could even buy, you know, the Defense Point Showdown set, we had no clue. We hadn't seen the E3 trailer. We had no clue how big that gun was going to be in the game. Then when you did get the E3 trailer, the gun wasn't the focus of that trailer. In that E3 trailer, we still didn't really have any idea of how pivotal they were going to be to the game. Whereas I have watched a few trailers of multiplayer and things. There's a multiplayer map, I think, isn't there, where that gun is in one of them, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't played
so
any
good
multiplayer either, but I've watched a couple of videos of people playing that map with that gun, and you realize that's what I mean by how lucky I was that I chose to build that, because it ended up being very relevant to the game without me realizing until it was finished just before the launch. So yeah, it all worked out pretty well.
Well, you could recreate that multiplayer map too now that you have the centerpiece. And did you know that the gun fires when somebody scores a point in that map?
I didn't.
Yeah, it's so good.
I've not actually, I don't think you see it fire in the E3 trailer, do you? So I don't think I've seen any.
No, they don't really show that.
Of it firing. No.
That was a fun thing for people to discover when they played that multiplayer map. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Oh, the lights. Let's talk about the lights in a little bit, and then maybe we'll talk about the actual kind of the mock itself. But like, talk about the process. And you already did a video on this, but did you have the lights, the idea of incorporating lights in your mind to begin with? Or did that, like, once you were done with the control room, you're like, okay, now I'm going to start, like, yeah, I think we should add this element. How did that come about?
I knew I wanted lights from the word go, but didn't have a solid plan, because I don't plan. But once I started building, I was very aware that I would need somewhere to put lights, at which point I didn't know which lights I was going to use. I did actually reach out to all of the they're not official, but with Lego, you've got a number of companies that sell lights for specific sets. So I actually reached out to all of them to say, did you want to sponsor this build? And all of them came back and said, no can do. It's in conflict with our agreements with Lego. So they all said, we'd love to. It looks fantastic. They're really supportive of it, but they said, unfortunately, we can't, but we'd happily supply you if you want to pay for them. They just couldn't sponsor it. And
so
it's
you could
really
buy them
expensive. Yeah, I could buy them direct, but the amount that I would have needed would have cost, you know, thousands of pounds probably. It wasn't worth it. So I just jumped on eBay and got some, you know, that strip lighting that you put underneath your kitchen units for, like, I think they were like £3.50 each one, with a little battery pack of AAAs. So all I had to do was, I haven't got one to hand, but they're just three AAAs in a plastic case with the wires coming off it, and then the LED strip. So once I knew how big that was, I just had to allow voids. And like the power cells at the end, they're just hollow boxes, which is ideal for dropping the power unit in, the lights are just all coiled up in there. They're not stuck to anything. And it, inside the main gun along there, they are actually stuck. They're stuck on the inside. There's like a run going all the way down the middle. So the lights are stuck to it, pointing outwards. So they come out of the actual red light in the middle of the red bricks. And then they feed their way around the back as well, up through the top. So you've got that top lighting as well, which you can see in some of the videos. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was actually one of the easiest bits and the most satisfying bit, because when I first stuck them in, turned the lights on and then turned the room lights off, that was a nice day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Not so stressful.
Make sure it worked.
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably make sure it was bright enough, right?
Yeah. And also, I mean, the first time I put them on, it didn't look right because it needed to glow rather than spotlight through it. So you have to put them in the right place to get it so it looks like it's charging from the inside rather than seeing each individual LED coming mm-hmm. straight through. It didn't look right. So I did move them, but that was easy. Move them before it was too late.
Yeah, cool. Any other thoughts, Tom, before we get into the mock, the diorama itself?
I'm just thinking.
At what point, Chris, did you know out of the gate you wanted to do the diorama, or did you just want to do the guns, see how it turned out, and then maybe see what happened after that?
The diorama was pretty much planned. It was planned from the same time that I decided on doing the AA gun, because originally when I was speaking with Jan at Mega, he said he wanted to support something. He said he wanted to support a build, or be happy to support a build. Mm-hmm. I just had to tell him what kind of build I wanted to do. So I chose Banish, so they supplied the parts, at which point nothing was discussed. It was complete free reign to do what I wanted with. And for a while, I just didn't know. So the bricks kind of sat there for a while and I wasn't sure. And then once I decided on this and I started building, I then got back in touch with Jan and I said, look, I've got a really good idea. I'm going to do this huge AA gun, try and get it minifig scale, mm-hmm. which would be great. But I think it will be better if I create a huge terrain, because that way it will allow me to integrate and show off the rest of the Infinite Line sets, which Jan loved the idea of that. And he said, great, let me know what you need. And that's where a lot of the parts for the foliage, which I've had like a million questions mm-hmm. on YouTube, where do you get all those terrain pieces from? I've got no idea where half of those terrain pieces come from. I've never seen them before. Many of them definitely don't come from the Halo line. And yeah, he just was really good and sent bags and bags and bags of foliage parts and the water parts. He was going to send base plates for the floor because I knew I was going to need lots of those, but he wasn't able to get those. So I used the battlescapes, mm-hmm. which it wasn't my first choice, but now that I've done it, I'm pretty, you know, I'm okay with it. It's I still like the battlescapes. I think
battlescapes, cool.
Yeah.
I
covered a bit of table.
I'm gonna jump in just for anyone who's watching this and thinks, do you know what? That's really cool. I want to make my own mock like that. There is a subline that Mega do, and I don't think it's continuing. Because there's not been anything new released under it for a while. So if you want stuff from it, grab it. It's called Mega Constructs Inventions. And as a part of that line, they do like terrain plates and things. Mm-hmm. So I just got a tropical island pack that has like dark green terrain plates.
Mm-hmm.
And if I find it in here as well, this will be where the water pieces came from. So it has some like that, and it also has some of that shape water-wise as well. So
really good. I was going to say, Chris, is that the biggest that you have for water? Is that what
yeah,
you got?
Like little, yeah, those so ones? That would be okay. Where they came from.
The triangle ones for the water, yeah. I did wonder where you got those from in your latest video.
Yeah, well, I can send you a link later if you would like.
Yeah,
very, very useful line just for anyone who's thinking about doing their own mock building as well, who's watching this.
And when did you get all the terrain stuff? Did you get that early in the build from Mega, or was it not until towards the end?
No, it was... I think it was just towards the completion of the gun. So I did a video when the gun was complete, and that was when I got back in touch with Jan and said, look, it's time for the terrain. Can you see what you can get? Which he did. He went away, he came back, and he said, I'm not sure what I can and can't do. And he said... But I've passed it on to their design team, which it actually came with this, which I bought to show, which was nice. I don't know whether you can read that or not. Can you? Is the light reflecting on it? Can you see that?
Yeah, that's perfect, Chris.
I'll let you pause it. But basically, that was just a... Oh, Colin can't see it.
I can't see it.
I like how they put an apology on it. So they've sent these free items, and then they're like, oh, we're sorry we couldn't do this for you.
I know. It's fantastic. I was really pleased they actually put a letter in, because they could have just sent a box of parts. But it was, they were basically, I'll just read it to you, Colin. It says, hey, Brickman 117, since we ran out of 1x4 dark grey, we gave you extra 1x2 dark grey instead. We also added some clear red you might need when you get to the power cells. Have fun building. Sincerely, Mega's Creative Shop. Awesome. So, that was really nice. So I don't know who that was, but thank you. But that was all of the transparent red in the power cells. And up here, I only had a few of those from the Defense Point Showdown set. And they obviously realized what I was doing before I got to the power cells bit, and realized I was going to need more. So it was them that I didn't even ask for all the trans clear red pieces. They just sent all that, which again was great. It shows they were watching, following, and understood what I was trying to do. And obviously they're better at doing it than I am, because they do it for a living. They know what they're going to need.
So I love speaking of the water, I love that you incorporated the aqua hog, which is the little bow, the alt build for the rally, Warthog rally. That was perfect. When I saw that in your video, I was like, yes, that is perfect.
I wasn't going to use it. I originally put that Call of Duty one in there, which I know didn't look right, but I wanted something in the water. And for some reason, my head said, no, that's not a Halo vehicle, so it can't go in there. Not that the Call of Duty rib was. But once I rebuilt it and parked it there, it just looked perfect. So I thought, yeah, that can stay there, definitely. I almost built another one. I liked it so much to have another one on the beach as well.
That's the game's favorite.
Definitely a good alt build, definitely.
Go ahead,
I was going to ask, so obviously, while you've been building this as well, Mega released their own stop motion that had a very, very similar kind of landscape in it, that was this huge environment, and it also coincidentally had a huge anti-aircraft turret in it as well. So what did you think when you saw that stop motion, and what were your thoughts on it more broadly as well, just comparatively?
I thought it's funny how things work out, because again, I don't think it matters if I say this now, but because of the delays of Infinite, Mega, as we know, kept having to pull things from their line, figures and so on like that. And when I was speaking with Jan, he'd mentioned to me at sort of beginning of this year, I think it was, that they'd actually made some... It was really frustrating for them as a company having to constantly pull things because of the delays. And he said they'd obviously invested in having some commercials, some stop motion commercials that they'd made, but they were told they couldn't release because of obviously the game delays. So I was waiting and waiting and waiting to see these commercials with no idea what was involved with them. And then of course, when it finally came out, to see it was based around, he must have known all along that I was building something that they'd clearly built a section of a year, 18 months earlier, with no idea what it was going to look like in the game, because they probably built theirs before we'd seen the E3 trailer in 2020. So it was really... and he kept it to himself all that time. Never said a word. So I thought it was very, very strange.
When we talked to Jan, and then also with Kevin, they have a good partnership with 343, and they're able to see assets, right, like long in advance. So they probably saw the AA gun. I mean, that's how they were able to come up with the set. But Yeah, that's interesting. That's about, you know, perfect synergy, right? Serendipity? Yeah. One of those two. I don't know. Any other thoughts, Tom? Now, I feel like we should dig into the mock a little bit, and then we'll transition to the year in review recap. Any thoughts on the mock itself? There's just so much going on in here. Yeah. Like, there's lots of little stories that you're telling along the way. You know, Chief is on the back of a hunter, and he's trying to shove a grenade in his back, and you have Elite Ultra, like, stalking a sniper, and there's just so much happening in this thing.
Yeah, I guess I would ask off of the back of that with just how much detail there is in it. It's obviously, as you were progressing throughout all the videos as well, you were talking a little bit about your end goal for it. And I remember at one point you were toying with the idea of having the UNSC having taken over the turret and sort of pushed the Banished out. So as you were sort of progressing through the build, how did the narrative around it, if you like, begin to map itself out in your brain? Were you sort of just seeing like little tidbits from trailers and things and thinking that would be really cool to throw in, or was it inspired by the specific products they were releasing, like the Marine Sniper? What really painted that narrative that we've got in the final mock for you?
Most of it was, again, it was through necessity rather than choice. So for example, the jungle area I've got here is there because that's everything I had. So I then had to think of a way, okay, well, I can't have jungle everywhere. So that's why on the far end of the mock, I just left it bland with just tree stumps and no trees, no greenery on them, because I'd run out of greenery. So it was a good way to excuse that by saying, right, that's the Banished end. And they've just, you know, wiped it clean. You know, they've just flattened the ground, basically, as you'd expect them to if they were trying to defend somewhere. The reason I put the UNSC on the beach was because it allowed me to get showcase a lot of the vehicles and the figures. So if I tried to have it so they'd already taken it, I felt it would have been very sort of higgledy-piggledy and confused, which I know a battle can be like that and look like that. But I wanted to try and, I felt I had more freedom to show more things. Like, I really wanted the Marines on the mortars behind the sandbags, which I really enjoyed putting all that together. I wanted to get as many vehicles in, so that was good. I also wanted to do my little holler table that I did, which looks like Cortana, but as soon as we saw that trailer and we knew the weapon, which obviously I've seen that trailer, I was like, well, it's the weapon.
Yeah,
and then I really wanted, as soon as I saw the I can't remember which series it came from, but the blue, the trans blue pilot figure, that was a blind bag, I think, wasn't it?
Blind bag.
As soon as I saw that, I knew I was going to use that for a projected one. So I was able to use those in there as well. So that's why I sort of separated it. So I focused on all of what I wanted on the UNSC side first. And then I started integrating the Banished, but it was a lot harder with the Banished because, I don't know, I just felt like they were all just you wanted them to look less organized and more chaotic, just, you know, pouring in, as it were, and just, you know, roll over the UNSC. So that's what I was trying to show there. My one big regret with what I did there was I really wanted the other two members of Blue Team, but can't get them yet. That would have been really nice to have those two figures in there as well, but Kelly and Linda, but haven't got those yet, so that's why they're not in there.
Yeah, well, yeah, you need to get the Razorback, is what you're saying, because we got Kelly.
I was going to say, if you need help getting a Razorback, just let me know as well, and we can organize that potentially.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Is there anything you didn't have? Sorry, Tom, I'll hand it back to you, but you got me thinking, was there anything that you didn't have from, like, an additional vehicle standpoint? You know, I'm watching the video over here. You have the Shade Turret, and you have the Warthog in there, and you have Ghosts, and you have Skiff, and you have so much. Was there anything that you're like, oh, I wish I had this to help flesh it out a little bit more?
It was really difficult knowing when to stop, because originally I was going to have more Banshees in the air, and I was going to put another Wasp in. But then every now and then you just got to stop, stand back and say, does it need any more? Because it can start to look too busy, and then it just looks like a kid's emptied his toy box on top of the mock.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense anymore. I was trying to keep that sense of, you know, realism. But then again, I always keep in mind the Believe trailer from Halo 3. And when you watch the diorama on that, it is so chaotic. It's just Marines and brutes everywhere. It's just madness.
Yep.
But they managed to pull it off really well in that. Whereas I tried to do the similar thing here, and it's really hard to get that balance right. I mean, there are things that I would have liked to have been in there. I would have liked a Wraith tank, a Scorpion tank. But what I realized when I was putting all the vehicles in, as big as it is, it's not really big enough for that size vehicle on that battlefield.
Right.
You run out of room very quickly, and then it looks overcrowded again.
Yep. Makes sense.
I feel like that kind of answered what I was going to ask as well, because I was going to say, when I put that mock together that you referenced the other day, I kind of looked at it afterwards and I was like, well, it just looks like I've thrown a bunch of figures on a base plate. It doesn't really look like a fantastic mock. So I was going to ask how you juggle that, but I think you explained that quite well. So I'm going to go for a stupid question instead, and ask, does this mock have a 10-year plan like Halo Infinite?
It does have a future, this mock, but I don't know when it is. The only reason I've not ploughed forward is because I've spoken to Colin about this in months gone by, is due to time restraints, I'm stepping back from it for a little bit just to give myself a bit more time. But at the same time, got a really bad itch that needs scratching to move this mock onto the next phase. And I wanted to do a big team battle on it, so take all the figures off and just get all of the recent figures that could justifiably be in there for a big team battle. I also want to do a red versus blue, but literally just red and blue figures with capture the flag on there as well. But when I do that one, the AA gun comes off and the ultimate assault on high ground goes on.
Yes.
So I've been looking at how I can somehow stitch into those base plates the ultimate assault on high ground in the far back corner, the beach here, and then put maybe a couple of other bits on there as well, and then a huge red versus blue figure battle with obviously the two flags, which I really like the idea of doing that. But again, it sounds like a 5-minute job. But it's not. In integrating the ultimate assault on high ground base to fit in nicely will take time, and then placing the figures, doing all the filming and everything. So, but yeah, it definitely has a future. It's not going anywhere. Once we finish this call, the gun will come off the top, it will go back on the side, all the dust sheets will go back over, I'll turn the lights out, and I'll come back another day and start working on those plans.
Sounds like the possibilities are infinite.
Or endless.
I managed to get it all.
Did well.
There's some community questions. Should we dive into those, Tom, or do you have anything else that we're going to cover?
Yeah, I'm happy to dive into the community questions. Do you want me to run with these, give you a break?
Let's do a little rapid fire here, and then we'll transition.
Cool. Okay, so we had a couple of questions from Busters 2005, and they were, what base plates did you use for the beach landing mock? They said the grey ones specifically. And what's the process of making the dioramas? So obviously you've given us a nice overarching view of how much work goes into it, but maybe just condense that a little bit for Busters.
Sure. So the base plates, the grey ones, they're the ones he's talking about aren't on the mock anymore. There was some big 60 by 60 clear base plates, and I think they were 30 by 30 grey base plates. I used that because I was running out of the large terrain base plates. So I was, for a lot of that mock is covered in tiles, literally 1x4s, 2x4s, 2x2s, just built up across there because I ran out of terrain base plates. But when I started sticking all of those smaller pieces to those 60x60 tiles and the gray tiles, because they're not branded mega ones, they're just universal ones off the internet, what they do is they make the base plate curve up like this, they pulled tight, so it was coming off the ground. So after I'd done the video that you saw, which was called the beach landing, I then had to strip it all back off again and start again, which was a real pain, but had to be done because it didn't look right and it wouldn't have worked. So they're not used at all on there now. And in regards to, what was the second question, building terrain?
So it was just the process of making a diorama overall.
You got to take your time. Always start with your groundwork first. Have in mind where you're going to put your foliage and so on, and build your foliage up, small plants at the bottom, big plants at the top. And then you need to kind of know the story you're trying to tell before you place your terrain, even where the small humps are in the ground. For example, prime example, one of the shots is of the, is it the Brief Chieftain from the Halo Heroes 3? Where he's sort of destroying three Marines all at once. So he's got one wrapped around his gravity hammer. I purposely built that terrain section there to house that scene by creating a tiny little subtle mound going up that I could stand the Brute Chieftain on, so he'd be higher up, making him look taller than the Marines.
Yep.
So you, those are the sort of things that you should be thinking about when you're building one. And where the two warthogs coming through the river, that was all designed and worked out ahead of time before any of the foliage went on, to make sure that that gap was just the right size to allow the warthogs through. So yeah, there's a lot of planning, basically.
I think there's a really nice social media clip there of just general advice for people building mocks as well, so that was really cool. And then Busters also asked, what are your favourite figures? Do you prefer old articulation or new articulation?
For dioramas, definitely new articulation. You just, the poses you can get are so, when you take still photography with it, like I did in the final overview video, you can get some really, really realistic looking poses and scenes. But that said, when I was actually going through some of my old figure collection just a couple of days ago at home, just simply because I had a load that one of the kids had got out loose, I needed to put them back in. They're all kept in clear bags, all the same type. And as I was going through them, I was thinking, it's such a shame that these aren't superposable, because I would love to use them more in mocks, but you're so limited by how you compose them. You sort of take a step towards the Lego world, where somebody can create the most astounding mock out of Lego, but when you put Lego men on it, they can't hold a gun.
Right.
They just look really awkward with weapons.
Do this.
And
that's yeah. It. Yeah.
And that's the bit that lets it down. That's one of the big differences for me between Lego and Mega. So, I like them both for different reasons.
Cool. Okay. Then Elson94 asked, are you going to put the Ultimate Pelican and the AA gun side by side? And if you had all the time, money, pieces and energy in the world, and I think that last bit is very important, then what would be the biggest and or most complex thing you would want to make?
So first one's easy. Yes, that's why I'm remodeling my studio. So off to my left, I've got all my shelving with my new sets and some of my custom builds on, which is all going to be lit, all the shelves, just on black plastic shelving. And then behind me, I don't know if you can see this if I move the camera, I've basically got the whole mock now on these cube units, and that's got clear perspex in front of it. All of those as well are going to become display cases for normal sets rather than custom sets, because I hate the fact whenever I build something, I then want to take it apart very quickly so I don't have to clean it. So all of those cube units are going to be completely sealed with LED lighting. So it will be more like a museum of sets. And incorporated into that, down that side will be a long side unit where I will then have the Ultimate Pelican on display built, because at the moment it's stripped. Just like the gun comes off the top of that, the Ultimate Pelican has the wings taken off to stop them from sagging because of how heavy they are. But I'd like to be able to have it actually fully built with just some stands underneath it to, you know, take the load off it so there's not so much stress. So yes, when all of that's done and finished, I'll then release another studio tour video showing everything I've done, and then it will be much, it will all look much nicer. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. If I had enough money in the world to build anything, I don't know. I'm not sure it's about the money. It's about the sanity.
Well, I think you're saying just how much, if you had all the pieces that you need and that wasn't a concern, what would you tackle?
Longsword.
Right. It's in the works, right?
Yeah. It's still there. It's still over there on the side, and I can't bring myself to strip what I built to use for parts because I haven't really needed them, in all fairness, but it's just not going anywhere. I would need some serious guarantees of part supply from Mega to finish it, but I would still love to. I've still got the blueprints rolled up over there. I still think that would be an just incredible mock if I could get the right pieces to do it. But in all honesty, I don't even know if the right pieces exist in Mega. It was, again, I thought that was going to be, it's just one big triangle, isn't it? Big triangle wing. Challenge. So yeah, but I think if it was any parts, no budget, the first thing I would do is pick that back up again and get it finished.
Well, Mega, you heard that here first, and just think about the kind of stage presence that would have somewhere like Toy Fair, right? I'm just throwing it out there, you know?
Mega and I have already had that conversation.
Don't think about the nightmare of shipping these things, Chris. Yeah. Oh, just don't worry about that. Yeah. Then we had the Pesky Bird, who asked, would you make a cannon-sized Master Chief eventually? So like a 7-foot-tall Master Chief. I'll let you take that one first. Go for it.
So not a cannon-sized Master Chief, but I have got things floating around my head to use the buildable Chief helmet as a base, scale a Chief off of the size of that helmet. Yes, that one there. So I'd love to have the parts to build the rest of that body or the rest of that armor. But the issue I've got there is the one that's behind you, Colin, the buildable Chief, you'll know how intricate that build is and how many parts are used just to create that size. And I think you could recreate it at the scale of that helmet, but I hate to think how many specialist pieces you'd need to do that. And I'm just not aware of what sets I'd need to get that out of, possibly 50 of those sets that you've got behind you, I think.
Exactly. That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that would look incredible and very, very difficult. Yeah.
And the Pesky Bird's next question was something which would probably be just as difficult, which is, would you ever build the Oni Alpha site or part of the ODST map? They're not hitting you with easy questions here, Chris.
to be honest with you, a lot of people ask about building, bases. But apart from, I know I built the Ultimate Assault on High Ground base, but I found something about that interests me, that base. But general bases, I don't know. It's not overly interesting for me. I'd generally rather build vehicles. I just find it's got more interest for me.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Probably
enough.
Not. Sorry.
you timed that comment on vehicles perfectly, because the last question from Chucky V is, can we ever expect to see an in-scale Scarab?
Yeah, that's got to be one of the most common questions I get asked. But I don't know the chap's name, but somebody's built a Banished Scarab, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
it really is. Amazing. And it, you know, I'm not sure how, where he got the parts from, whether it's a mix of Lego and Mega Constructs, but it really is amazing. And I don't see that I could top that. So it doesn't really, I quite like to do things that haven't been done So I probably wouldn't be building one of those anytime soon. I'd sooner build a blister back.
Yeah. Would you ever consider just your own vehicle, your own creation? I've seen you've done some things like that, where it's like a modification of the Warthog. Would you ever come with just something else that the Banished might?
I have got something that I was going to show you, actually, but Colin, you can't see it. But
I'm going to enjoy this.
I was mentioning it to Tom earlier. So something that I've been wanting to do for ages, and this will come out on my channel eventually, and I'm hoping I can do build instructions for this. And this is off the back of the Troop Hog that I did with the two Warthog sets. Mm-hmm. So this was really difficult because I limited myself to certain sets again. So people would know if they have those sets, they can potentially try and build it. So if you like the NMPD line, which I love, and you like fast cars, you'll like this.
Oh, whoa.
Which I'm calling the NMPD Interceptor.
That
so
is
I don't know how well you can
cool.
see it, Tom.
Yeah. Oh,
but it's meant to look like a hypercar pursuit car for the NMPD.
Oh, that's
And
so
I'm really,
sweet.
Really pleased with it.
Yeah, that is really nice. Colin, so you just keep smiling, pretending
I'm just
to see it.
Soaking it in.
So, yeah, it basically. Colin, imagine a Speed Champions, a Lego Speed Champions Ferrari, but in NMPD colours.
Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool that you've brought NMPD up, because literally today I just managed to get the NMPD Cyclops at last. So the timing of that is perfect.
Nice.
Yeah, that's hard to get. Expensive.
Yeah.
Is it the same size as that Lego reference, or is it the bigger Hot Wheels Mega?
No, so it's 8 wide by, I don't know how long, I didn't count it, but it's I don't know what the scale of the Hot Wheels ones are, but I'd imagine this is about the same length as most of the Speed Champions sets, which I don't actually have any of, but I just went on to Lego and got some instructions of how they were put together. To get a rough idea of how you build that kind of car, because I've never built one before, but I've always wanted to, because I love the NMPD line, but there's so few sets to it.
Right.
But I've got like 6 or 7 Hornets and the police cruiser, which is all right, but it's a bit of a funny looking car. being somebody that owns a garage, I'm used to seeing cars that look a bit nicer than that, so I wanted to make some improvements. But it's non-canon, obviously, but I've always wanted to build a whole fleet of non-canon NMPD vehicles. But
that'd be so
are
cool.
any of the NMPD vehicles canon?
So the cruiser is in ODST2. Yeah, it's on the streets in ODST2.
And the Pelican.
Yeah, the Pelican as well. The Warthog, it makes sense, because I'm fairly sure that the NMPD had mongooses, although they don't have the livery on them in ODST, but you can find them in garages around the city. So I would assume they'd have a Warthog as well, because it's how it works in the real world, isn't it, with military surplus. Yeah. So
Well, when they remake it, they need to put the Interceptor in.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to drive it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just imagine speeding down the freeway level with the Scarab overhead in that. That would be amazing.
Well, still the remote control.
My argument is they've still got cars. It's the future. They've got crime. They've got car crime. They must have a police interceptor to catch those crooks.
Yeah.
They're not going to get them in the Warthog.
That's the next season of Traffic Cops right there. It's going to be following the NMPD.
Love it. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you for taking the time to go through the AA-Gun and just, you know, what you've been up to and just your general thoughts about and advice about dioramas.
You're welcome.
So, fantastic.
Thanks for having me back on the show.
Absolutely. We're going to transition over to the year 2021 and talk about, you know, everything that we've done, Chris, you, what you've created. It's just going to be a nice recap and talking about. It was fun creating the notes for this, because it was fun to go back and be like, well, we did a lot of stuff this year. We talked to a lot of people, and then going through your YouTube, Chris, and like, wow, you did quite a bit. I mean, there's a lot of AA-Gun, but there's a lot of other fun stuff to cover off on. So let's dive into that now. All right. So since I've been talking quite a bit, I'm going to toss it over to Tom. He's going to take us month by month, and we'll talk about the highlights of each month, kind of go around the room. This is gonna be fun trip down memory lane. Not that it was long ago, but I'm looking at this and like, oh, that was this year. Yeah. I forgot about that. So take it away, sir.
Okay, so we're going to start with January, and it's worth contextually knowing that each sort of month is broken into store shelves, what they were looking like, builds with blocks, what Gabe's been up to, and also what Chris has been up to on the Brickman channel as well. So in January for store shelves, in Target, we had the Skiff, Warthog Rally, the Banshee, the Energy Sword, the Chief Helmet, the AA Gun, the Mongoose, and Halo Infinite Blind Bag Series 2. Walmart had Warthog Rally, Halo Infinite Blind Bag Series 2, and Halo Heroes 12. Dollar General, continuing in its tradition of being quite random, had a lot of random heroes, figure packs, and also the exclusive turret takedown. Amazon had the Hijack Ghost, the UNSC Marine Platoon Pack, and the Pelican. On the UK front, just for the other topic, you did generally see a lot of other retailers apart from Amazon. So Smith's, for example, their offerings slowly diminished. So Smith's did get the Ghost, but then the rest of the line sort of faded in and out of stock. Luckily, it has stayed fairly consistent on Amazon, however. On the Builds with Blocks front, we had our 10 best Halo Wars sets, our Gun Nut Films interview, and we also reviewed the Mercenary Combat Unit, the UNSC Combat Unit, the Damage Control Cyclops, and we took a look at some Jazzwares items as well.
Just a quick note, we did, you did a lot of Jazzwares, so I mentioned it here, and then I cut it out of the rest of the list. So if you're interested in Jazzwares, go to our channel. We have a bunch of good reviews. Tom's put all those together. You almost have covered everything, so...
We've got, reviews on two-packs, the Spartan Collection, some of the 3¾-inch World of Halo, the Ghost, the Warthog, all of that.
Yeah,
kind of
stuff. Yeah, I forgot when I was going through the list. I was like, wow, we almost did a lot of videos on Jazzwares. It's a good product. So, but I left it off the rest of the list here. It's just Mega from here on out.
Cool. Yeah, no worries. It's a fun line to collect as well. Mm-hmm. On the Gabe front, Gabe finally got the Forward Unto Dawn. So the... and he also made a custom Spark miniature for Kelly Gay. So that was based on the Point of Light novel. I managed to remember it. Be proud of me. My lore's getting better. And then lastly, on the Brickman front, Chris, I'm looking at you. You got your unboxing parts from Mega. And also just ahead of the new year, so in December of 2020, you finished off the Banished Phantom, which I think was a very, very popular build. So I'm going to throw it to you first, Chris. January, can you remember any highlights? Was it good getting that Banished Phantom done?
I was definitely good getting that done because that was a very tricky build. But so I'm just looking at all those sets that so much came out, and I think...
Yeah.
There's a lot to be pleased with there, but one of the standout sets for me, which is really boring, I know, but it's the Warthog, because I really like how they upgraded the suspension. Mm-hmm. And I just really like that set. I've bought tons of them because I just think they're great and they're on special offer at the moment.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely a highlight for me there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a nice new definitive Warthog, I feel. For me, the one before was the... Warthog Resistance one, so the original 343 design, and then that came out and blew it out the water for me. Colin, what about you? What would be your highlight from January?
Well, we kind of committed to the best sets of X game, and I know that was my idea, but I feel like it was fun to kind of go through that process. I always like, you know, top 10 lists and things like that. It's interesting conversation. So we kind of kicked it off the previous year with what I think was Halo 4, but then we continued it on through here. So diving into Halo Wars, because that was like the original Mega Blocks, you know, dedicated sets was back then. So it's fun to go back and revisit those. And then of course, the Gun Nut conversation was super interesting. It was fun to have him on.
I'd say my highlight was getting the Damage Control Cyclops.
I love that. Weird
highlight, but it's just, I love when Mega do something that's a little bit out of left field. And I think some of the Cyclops variations they did were really cool, like the off-world Cyclops, the NMPD Cyclops, so happy I got that. All of that kind of stuff is really awesome to me. Okay, so then in February, on the Builds with Blocks front, we continued our best Halo set tradition with the best Halo Reach sets. We also had my forward operations base mock, which was a lot of fun to put together. Mega, thank you for sharing that. And we had a review of the Banshee Breakout. Gabe also made the custom GRD helmet to promote the Master Chief collection. And then Chris, you did a review of the Elephant Troop Carrier. Yeah, Elephant Troop Carrier. I nearly said review again, but I don't need to say that again because I've already said it. And also put out the video on the Ultimate Warthog. So I'll bring it to you first this time, Colin. What's your highlight from February? A little bit lighter.
The mock that you made with the forward operating base, we knew it was called that. We must have, right? Was that revealed in, video?
Oh my God. No, we didn't know that at the time. I called it NFOB because I'm really into my military terms.
Yeah. So that was perfect because that's spot on. Good guess. Well done.
Free for free copy.
We know our stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, Chris, what about you? What was your highlight for that month? I'm hoping you're going to say the elephant.
I'm not going to say the elephant. As much as I enjoyed finally building that after all these years, it's the Ultimate Warthog. The Ultimate Warthog is still possibly one of, if not my favorite custom builds.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that thing. It's on the shelf now. Can't bring myself to ever take it apart because I don't have instructions for it. And again, it's another one that you have an idea in your mind's eye and you hope it will work out, but you don't really know until the end. And it could look atrocious, but it worked out. So, I'm going to go with that one.
Did you compare that to the official one, the 10th anniversary one?
Yeah.
In that video?
Amazingly, that whole build series and final product was one of the most unsuccessful builds I've ever done. Thoroughly disappointing for something that you cherish so much.
Yeah.
Nobody else cares.
The plight of the YouTuber.
I feel like you've just described all of my Jazzwares reviews then.
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah. I think for me, it would be the best Halo Reach sets, purely because, aging myself again a little bit, that was my first real proper Halo game that I sunk my teeth into. I played with friends, so it always has a really special place in my heart, and I just always enjoy getting to talk about Halo Reach. I think it's a really good game, so that would be mine. Then going into March, we are a lot beefier again. Builds with Blocks, we did a lot in March. We had our interview with John Friend from Halo Gear. We did our spring set review. We did the Banshee comparison, the Ghost comparison. We reviewed the free helmet sets that came out. We looked at Halo Heroes Series 13. We debuted the teaser of Gold Crew for the 20th anniversary pack. And we then worked on the official reveal alongside Mega Constructs for the 20th anniversary pack itself.
A lot of fun.
That was really awesome. Matt released his Zeta Halo mock. We had the Warlord stop motion. Gabe partnered with the Master, with Mega Constructs even, to reveal Mr. Chief, who I do have sitting on my desk in front of me. Mm-hmm. And then Chris, it was a busy month for you as well. You had the Ultimate Warthog review, the Hijack Ghost review. You upgraded the Ghost. You did your Winter Soldier custom and mock. The Ultimate Warthog alts with the Rocket Hog, the Warzone Wasp review, and on March the 31st, you introduced the Ultimate Banished AA gun build. So, Chris, out of all of those, which would be your one highlight? I might let you have two if you're good.
Yeah, I need two. So, the John Friend interview, I really enjoyed. I love getting that behind the scenes, and you guys always ask such great questions as well. So, I really enjoyed that interview. I think I watched it twice. And then the other one for me, another selfish one, was the Winter Soldier mock
that
I created. And that was because it's the only off Halo thing I've ever done. And it was a, tragic failure again in regards to who watched it, but I really enjoyed building it. And then I enjoyed doing the photography and the small stop motion I did at the end with it. just to get it out of my system. So yeah, that was it's out of the system now, and it's since been stripped and used in, it's in there. All the pieces have been diluted into the AA gun.
I could see his arm just sticking out there.
Yeah.
What about you, Colin? What would be your highlight? I think I can guess it.
Yeah, the reveal. So cool. Yeah. I mean, and then we have more to share about that at the end of the year too.
Yeah,
so
I'm
just being a part of that whole thing was a lot of fun. So again, thank you, Megan, for allowing us to partner with you on that.
Definitely, I'd say that was a highlight for me as well. Just getting to, it's weird for me, but for a career, I work in marketing anyway, and I know Colin, we have a lot of back and forth on that. But getting to do something that's a little bit closer to not quite working for the company, but working in an official capacity with them, is really cool for me personally, because it gives me a flavour of what it would be like to work in that one day. And it gets me really excited from a career standpoint as well. And I'm also going to say the Winter Soldier custom was also one of my highlights, Chris, because that is my favourite Marvel film to date. So I was so happy seeing it getting some love as well.
That's good. You and I, we both like it. That's something.
Two views.
You're just coming back to your 20th anniversary reveal. Was that the actual video, or was that just when you released, because you all got to release some images first?
Yeah, both. So we released the images first.
I thought you were just talking about the actual, when you just released the images. I was waiting for the actual video. So yeah, that's my third choice.
Yeah,
that was a great video too.
I think all of us in that were just so charged up as well, that we were really excited the whole time, which is really awesome. And then we came off of that wave of excitement into quite a quiet April, actually. So on the Builds with Blocks front, we had the best sets from the original trilogy. We had our Blind Bag Series 3 reactions and our Dream Blind Bag Series. We had a review on the UNSC Hornet Blitz, and I was surprised that review did decently, considering it was quite an old set at the time. And then we had my Banished Army video, and shout out to Grim Brother One for retweeting that. That made my day when someone from 343 shared that. On Gabe's front, we have got the custom Ultra Elite reveal. And then on the Chris front, we have got AA gun updates, a longsword update, the MC wardrobe video, the Mark VI Iron Man stop motion, and the long hug. So Colin, I'll bring that to you first. What's your highlight from those?
There's a lot of juicy stuff in here. I'm gonna go, I haven't picked Prickman yet, but no offense, the Banished Army video was really cool. Like, I think we had talked about this, or maybe you had the idea separate to me, but you showing all of the banished vehicles that we had at the time and sets was really cool, and it did really well. People seemed to enjoy that, which I thought was really cool, because I would imagine other collectors, maybe people that have just started collecting some banished stuff, are like, what would it look like if we had everything? And you were able to provide that, which is cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Chris, what about you? What's your highlight?
I was going to say the Banished Army video as well.
That was
a really good video. I don't know what it is. You just don't often get to see that much banished in one video or in one place. We're still trying to build up our collection, so I was really impressed with how much banished how much banished gear you have, and that was it was nice to see. And still, there's still not a lot out there now.
There's not, no. And the fun behind the scenes of that as well, really, is, as you guys know, I've collected for a long time. But that video came about because the banished is the most accessible stuff I have in this room. So everything else is in boxes, it's stored in various different places. And I knew that all my banished was the recent stuff I bought. So I was like, I can put all of that together, at least it will make a decent video. So it's nice to hear that people enjoyed it.
You made me buy some very expensive Halo Wars 2 banished phantoms from Canada. Colin knows all about it.
The Banshees, you mean the Banshees?
The Banshees, yeah.
I'm very happy expensive. To be a negative influence.
Yeah. Right, I'm glad I've got them now.
Yeah.
The painful part's over.
I think my favorite thing in April was the Dream Blind Bag series. Because back when I first joined the community, I would always go on Spartan Blocks, if either of you are familiar with that website. I feel like I may be the only Spartan Blocks user. Doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately, but shout out to Paul Knack, who used to run that. And I would always post what sets I wanted Mega to make in the future, so it's just letting me continue doing that. that's pretty much that. Then for May, on the Builds with Blocks front, we had Flood Sets You Need, so a bit of a deviation from the favourite sets to Flood-specific focus. Our full set predictions.
All wrong, probably, by the way.
I have a fun story about that. I predicted a Gungoose with a Jackal Sniper.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Halo Infinite Blind Bag Series 2. Mongoose comparison, the Warthog comparison with Warthog Rally versus Warthog Run, revisiting the Scarab, oh, so sun damaged, and stop motion Fight Hard, Die Well. Gabe also had the custom Hayabusa Spartan, and then Chris, you had the chopper review and the AA gun update. So I'm going to throw that one to you first, Chris. What would you choose from May?
Flood Sets You Need. Yeah, I really enjoyed that video, and there's just not enough flood in my life.
It's true.
Flood figures. I really wanted to do an Awakening the Nightmare diorama, which I'd do at some point. But I just don't have enough flood figures, and whenever you see them for sale, used, they're just so expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was good to see a video solely based on everything flood that's being produced. And watching you lot argue about it.
Right.
Yeah, there's definitely some heated discussion sometimes. Yeah. Colin, what about you? What would your pick from May be?
I'm going to throw it over to Matt Stop Motion. Cool. I think this might be the first one he did for the year. Maybe there was another one, but when he puts those things out there, a lot of fun. So I think I'll shout out Matt's Fight Hard, Die Well.
Yeah, do you know what? I'll do that as well, because I think Matt puts a lot of work into his stop motions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool seeing some of the environments he builds from them as well, because obviously you've got the dual thing of having to build a set that you can make a stop motion in, and then making the stop motion itself as well. Okay, so rolling on to June, I'm going to start with Gabe first, who released a custom Atriox and Jega Odomni to promote Halo Infinite while it was at E3. Then on the Chris front, we had an AA gun update, and for Builds with Blocks, we had a Halo Canon interview, the best NMPD and ODST sets with Daniel Bovey, the Halo Infinite Believe trailer by Matt, Halo Heroes Series 14, and the Shutdown mock. Colin, what's your highlight?
Man, there's some good stuff in there. I had a good time talking with Daniel. I thought that was really cool, talking with a young collector. And he's got so many. He's got almost every figure now. I feel like maybe they have one or two left. So that was a fun chat. It was a cool opportunity to have him on the show.
Yeah. Chris, what about you?
I think the Believe trailer that Matt did, that was one with the same music as the Believe trailer, wasn't it? Yeah, mm-hmm. He did that really well. That was, a great video. So I'd go with that one because I just, as I said earlier on, I love that. I love that original advert. Incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a really cool advert. I think I'd go with Halo Canon just because that's someone who I've always looked at in the community and thought, oh, you're a really cool person. So actually getting to talk to him was really fun. And hearing that actually somebody who you don't attribute with Mega traditionally actually collects it as well was really awesome, because I think that shows how much value there is behind all of these products, really. I just did June, didn't I? I was about to go, have I skipped a month? No, I haven't. I can read a list, I promise. So July, I'm going to start with you, Chris, because you had a lot of content out in July. We had the River Crossing Diorama, a haul video, which may have been facilitated by the other person on this call, who's not me. the story so far, High Ground Mock, the battle for the Ark Master Chief, and the AA turret being complete. Gabe then released the custom Red Team statue and Lucy B091 for official art, and also published the MCX Chopper review on our YouTube channel. And that is something that, again, is in our Builds with Blocks section as well. We also reviewed the Wasp Onslaught set that month and the Blind Bag Series 3. Took a closer look at the Needler when it was officially revealed. Did a full set breakdown. Matt did an individual breakdown of the news that we revealed. Or the news that we got, even. We didn't reveal it, but we just broke
fall.
It down.
Yeah.
The fall sets. We had the BTB mock, the full set discussion, and the fan vote details. The first details on that fan vote that got us the Haunted Spartan.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, busy July. What stands out to you?
First of all, I've got to say that I'm probably not going to choose Gabe for any of these things. And that's not because I don't like his work. His work's fantastic. But I, as Colin mentioned earlier, I don't really follow any social media. So I don't go on Instagram. Mm. And I think Gabe generally posts
on Instagram.
Is that right? Yeah. I don't see it on your channel. So I don't see any of the things that you're referring to. So, Gabe, I'm sorry. Apologies. Your work's fantastic. But I haven't seen it, so I can't say whether that was the highlight or not. For me personally, the River Crossing diorama that I did is the favorite kind of my favorite kind of content. So I really enjoyed putting that one together, even though, again, it wasn't overly successful. But from my perspective, I enjoyed doing that. From the other side of it, Collins, was it your closer look? Was that your review of the Needler?
No, I didn't review it until later. That was just because Mega released a sliver of a video in like a, was it a, was it PowerCon or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I know the one you mean.
Okay, it was something like that. So it was just
I'll
little bit.
I'll save that for later.
All right.
You can just think go with River Crossing.
No, because the fan vote as well, that was a really big thing, even though it didn't go my way. And it was wrong.
Were you Flood by any chance, Chris?
I was Flood, yes. Yeah.
You were. Okay.
And I said maybe next time.
Maybe next time, indeed.
That's right, there might be.
Yeah? Colin, what about you? What's your pick?
I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. The fan vote was tons of fun, and we wrapped it up the following month. But I'm gonna shout out Gabe for his first review, the Chopper review.
Yeah,
that was cool that way he got on that, and I thought he did a really good job on that.
I think that's true, Gabe. If you're watching this, well done, you smashed it, buddy. Mm-hmm. And that review did really well. My two picks are both gonna be from you for July, actually, Chris. The first one of which is very predictable because I stole part of it in my most recent video, and that is the River Crossing diorama. That was so cool, and I remember distinctly leaving you a comment about the Marines having the rifles above their heads.
Because I just thought
that was so awesome. Like it took me back to things like Vietnam War photography, for example, and I thought it was really awesome. And then also the story so far, High Ground Mock. Was that the cinematic video you made with High Ground?
Yeah.
Just because it's a cinematic video was really, really awesome. And I really enjoyed the way you edited that and told a story with that. So definitely a highlight for me as well.
The story so far was where I stitched in the Ultimate High Ground cinematic with the River Crossing cinematic and the... I can't remember what it's called now. The one where I created the factory, the burnt out factory, Marines hiding in there. It went from one to another. So yeah, that was the story so far.
I always like that kind of stuff and when it tells a narrative story. So that was really awesome. August, we're a little bit on the lighter front. Builds with Blocks, we had the Haunted wins the fan vote and a review of the red helmet, the escape helmet, which I have our review sample just here. Well, not a sample, I did pay for it, but it's there. Gabe produced the Flaming Haunted Spartan to promote the Mega Constructs Haunted figure winning from the fan vote. I think he released it beforehand, though, and I'm convinced that that was a fix. And his artwork caused it to get way more votes. So, Gabe, it's all your fault. And then Brickman, you released the AA gun leg complete with lights. So quite a skeleton month for us in August.
It's summertime, right?
Yeah, exactly. Colin, what are you thinking? What are you feeling?
I'm gonna throw another one Gabe's way, like that. That haunted figures.
Yeah,
so good. And it helps the haunted win, which was fine. So there we go.
True. Chris, what about you?
After what I just said, I'm going to go with Gabe as well, because I did actually see that it was near the time of the fan vote. And for whatever reason, I went on and I did see that figure. So, yeah, it's Gabe's win. Gabe wins this one.
I'm Gabe. You're getting all three in one go, mate. Well done. I think, Gabe, you've definitely put the pressure on Mega with that custom figure. So, well done. September, again, quite a light month. We had the evolution of the micro action figure with Kevin MCX, and we touched on the fan vote. Gabe shared the custom Trailblazer to promote the public Halo Infinite Flights. And Chris, you had your beach landing diorama. So, Chris, only three to choose from. What are you feeling?
It's easy. The interview with Kevin MCX.
Yeah, that's cool.
You just can't get that guy on and off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Colin?
Picking Kevin's brain is amazing. But I haven't given one to Brickman yet, so I'm going to go with the beach landing diorama.
No, it's Kevin. That's the wrong answer, Colin. It's Kevin.
I think for me, every time we get to talk to Kevin is awesome. And I can't remember. I think it was that discussion we had when I found out that he designed some of the sets I had as a kid. And it just blew my mind. I was like, the fact that I'm talking to you now when you have influenced me like 10 years ago is crazy. So that was really awesome. October, on the Builds for Blocks front, we had our best Halo 5 sets, the Spring Wave reveal. And before we go any further, Chris, I'm going to actually deviate from the script and give you an opportunity to talk Spring sets, because I believe you're quite excited. So tell us your thoughts. What are you thinking of the Spring 2022 lineup?
Well, I've already told Colin previously, I can't wait to get my hands on that Banshee. It's just, that alone. And the Arbiter figure and the other two figures in that set, it's almost all I need.
Yeah.
But it's currently on sale on Amazon for £250 for some reason.
Is it we'll Signature Series size?
Yeah, right.
It's a box of 100. It's all looking good for next year, definitely.
There's Gun Gooses in there. We have the new Halo Universe. Blind the Bags Falcon. Are in there. Falcon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is the Spring Wave with the Banished, I can't remember what they called it, but the equivalent to the Platoon pack?
Yeah, yes. The like Garrison pack, yeah.
So that's a highlight for me because of the figures that come with it that go with the Gun Goose.
Yeah.
They're all the same. And the Marine with, now that they're doing the Marine with the mask over his face, I've been waiting for them to reproduce those for ages. So really looking forward to getting some of those sets as well. So yeah, all good.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stuff to look forward to there. So, do we have anything else that can really weigh up to that? Well, we did have our 20th anniversary character pack review produced by the lovely Colin there. I believe that was your first review.
We tag-teamed it. You did some heavy lifting. that was the first review that I did, and that was very well received.
On like 30,000 views, so you did pretty solid, yeah.
But I got lucky ordering it right away. You know, I think Bovi tipped me off on, hey, it's on Amazon. I'm like, okay, drop what you're doing, buy it, and then try to buy it again, and it being off Amazon. So, the character pack is great. We talked about it at length, but, like, getting your hands on it has been difficult for a lot of people, which is a bummer.
And then on the game front, we had... I realise I just cut you off completely there. Sorry, I'm so into the notes now. On the game front, we had the custom size accurate Halo 3 Brute Chieftain. And then, Chris, we didn't have anything for you for October, but I do want to shout something out because I don't know... Maybe we went over it earlier in the list. Yeah, we did, actually. I just want to shout out your MC Wardrobe video because I thought that was a really cool, unique thing that I hadn't seen anyone do before. And it was really nice kind of seeing a different way to display them. It kind of felt like you'd taken the concept of the Master Chief Collection set that Mega did and then took it to the next level, which was really awesome to see. So definitely wanted to shout that out quickly here while we have some space. So Colin, I'll throw it your way. What are we thinking highlights wise?
I mean, I guess I gotta, you know, pat myself on the back for that 20th anniversary character back review. That's a lot of time. So when I did that review, I gained so much respect for you and Chris and everybody that puts together reviews, because it's a lot of work to do and a lot of time. And I know I don't have a social life. But, you know, to put in the time and be like, I had a better understanding of the craft, just like taking the right picture and like, oh, that one's not right, and oh no, I need to take another one and get it at the right angle. It's a lot of time to do that and to produce something that's got good quality to it. So I felt pretty good at that. Obviously, my first one, I could have done way better, but it was a good experience to go through. So I'll highlight that one.
Cool, Chris. What about for you?
Yeah, the review, you nailed it. And for people like me that can't get that set, it's really nice to see a well put together review of that set, because it's probably the only way I'll ever see it. So yeah, the photography was good, all the editing was good, and the description was good. It was just really well balanced, and like you say, for your first one, it was really impressive. But I also want to say close runner up was the best Halo 5 sets, because I just love seeing the Spirit again. To me, the Spirit is just, and seeing somebody else hold it up to the camera and be as impressed with it,
it's huge,
as I am, it's just nice to see that again. It's been too long since we've had a Signature Series set that's really wowed.
I'm gonna go and cry about never buying that set now. Thanks, guys. Then moving into pretty much current day, and we've got November, which wasn't that long ago. Chris, you released 3 videos. You had the Ultimate Diorama teaser, the Warthog Rally alt build, and the Pelican inbound vehicle lighting. Then on the Gabe front, we had the custom 20th anniversary Chief to promote the 20th anniversary of Halo. And on our Builds with Blocks front, we had my Destroyed FOB mock, a review of the Needler, and a review of Razorback Blitz. So I'm thinking I'm going to throw it to you first here, Chris. What are you thinking?
Again, it seems last one, the Needler review by Colin. And simply because I don't have that set, and I may struggle to get that set as well. And it's just well done reviews. So if you can't have something, it's always nice to be able to see a good, well-balanced review on it. But hopefully Colin will get me one.
This is exactly why I always watch your review on the 20-1 Scorpion while I'm crying myself to sleep.
Matt helped me on that Needler, by the way, on that editing. He did a really good job. So thanks for that, Matt. I will say it's kind of a light month, and I don't want to give it to myself again. So I'll go with your Destroyed mock, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm going to go with the Pelican inbound vehicle lighting, because my God, do those thrusters look good with those lights you found. Like, I don't have a need to buy lights, so you can't see it, but my Pelican's on top of my wardrobe behind me, and I am still tempted to buy lights just because they look that cool. So that was really awesome to see that. And I love videos like that, because people don't share like little tips and tricks that often, so it's always cool getting to know about things like that. December, the month of Christmas, which is a word of dread for many people. In December, we had the custom Halo Infinite Master Chief from Gabe, promoting Halo Infinite's launch. From you, Chris, we've had your ultimate diorama walkthrough, and this whole episode has essentially been an extension of that, which has been very awesome. And then on the Builds with Blocks front, we had the holiday gift guide with Halo Collector, the in-game toy comparison, another Builds with Blocks episode, the stop motions Zeta Halo encounter, battles on Zeta Halo, the FOB mock by Matt, and the War on Zeta Halo mock by me. So Colin, take us out for December.
Again, really good month. We all cranked out a bunch of good stuff, but I got to give this to the man of the hour, the man of the show, the ultimate diorama walkthrough. Like, finally seeing that thing complete and you know taking us through that thing, it's amazing. So thank you for taking the time to build that. You know, it's a treasure for all of us builders and Mega fans, the fact that thing exists.
Yeah.
It was built for the fans. It was always going to be a tribute to the fans. That was the agreement with Mega. They wanted to support me to do something for the community. That's what it was always about. So I'm just glad that the community got on board with it and everyone seems to be pleased with the outcome. So yeah, maybe I'll do another one day.
So could we say that's your highlight for December then, Chris, seeing the reaction to it?
You can, but I actually want to say it's your video that I haven't seen yet, because Colin said at the beginning of it, which is the in-game toy comparison, and Colin said it's filled with spoilers. So
you cannot watch that. Watch it.
So, but I really wanted to watch it. So at the moment, that's my highlight. Looking forward to watching that in 6 months' time.
There you go.
I like it. Something to look ahead to. Yeah. I think definitely, for me, your mock, obviously, is the reason why I made the War on Zeta Halo mock, to be honest, because I saw that for, there's some really awesome terrain here. I want to buy some terrain and throw something together myself, and I'm sure that's having the same effect on other collectors as well, making them want to get out and build stuff. I'm going to be really, really cheeky and go against my own rules, though, because I'm going to take two more. And I'm going to say that Matt's FOB mock was really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got that spot on to the design of those, and I thought that was awesome. And also, the holiday gift guide with Laird and Kevin Hurd. I really enjoyed talking to those guys, and I thought it was a blast getting to pick their brains and learn more about just Halo collecting more broadly. So that was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
good year, huh? I mean, really, you look back at all this stuff, it was a good mega year. Lots of stuff, lots of good stuff. And I feel like one of the better years that we've had in a while.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm gonna throw it out to you guys. Colin, you first. So I've got a note here that says Halo Universe announcement has us excited for the future. It does. But I want to say more broadly for 2021 Mega Collecting, can you sum it up in a sentence?
Can I? I have a sentence, not like two words or anything, so that's good. I would say the future looks really bright, and they've set us up for success and a lot of fun in the future. Really, I mean, with all the announcements that they've had, with everything we have in hand, Halo Universe, I have great expectations for what we're going to receive, you know, and continue to add to our collections moving forward. So,
it was more a paragraph, but I'll allow it. Chris, what about
you? I can't
you?
Do a sentence.
It's really simple. We're back on track. That's how I feel 2021 is. It just feels like it's back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. And I think to build on that, I would say excited for the future. And with that, I will hand the show reins back to you, Colin.
All right. Well, thanks for sticking with us. It's been a long show, but a really fun conversation. So hopefully you all enjoyed it. And we had a great year. We had a fun year. We have lots of plans for the future. Chris, you probably are going to do an update video on your channel about like your plans.
I've got nothing planned for. I've got no further content planned for the rest of this year or the immediate future in the new year. I'll just see what next year brings when we get there.
Okay. Well, I feel like when you finally play Halo Infinite, whenever that happens, I feel like the inspiration is going to come back.
I feel like you need to come back to us at that point and share your thoughts as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I will do.
All right. Sounds good. Well, that'll do it for the show. Thanks for joining Builds with Blocks. Thanks again, Chris, for joining us. If you like the show, feel free to support Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved.
Evolved.